And now, a word from our sponsor. Here's a message for the motorist who does not feel that his car is performing as well as it should. It may sputter and jerk at starting. It may buck when you step down hard on the accelerator. It may be loggy on the hills. Now, it is possible that you may need the services of a mechanic. But before you consult him, please make this test. Fill your tank with Rio Grande cracked with petroethyl, the dependable performance of which is responsible for its demands by police and fire departments. Then put your car through its paces. You may be surprised to find out that the fault has been the gasoline you've been using and not the mechanical condition of your car. Rio Grande Cracked will bring out the best in your car. If it will not perform with Rio Grande Cracked, we suggest that you take it at once to a reputable mechanic. But take the above test first. You may save money and also discover the qualities of Rio Grande Cracked gasoline. This time of year, you should be particularly careful about lubrication. Bearings and other moving parts are expensive, and it requires dependable oil to protect them. Be certain by using either Sinclair Pennsylvania or Sinclair Opaline motor oils. These oils have longer life because they are extra refined. Also, you are guarded against substitution because these famous oils are sold only in patented extra measure tamper-proof cans. Drain and fill your crankcase with either Sinclair Pennsylvania or Sinclair Opaline at a cost no more than bulk oil. Now, Chief James E. Davis of the Los Angeles Police Department has a message for you. Good evening, Chief Davis.
Good evening, friends. Just 4 months ago, it was my privilege to bring to you, from Tucson, our sister city of the Southwest, a dramatization of the excellent police work of Chief Willard and his men capturing the Dillinger gang. On that occasion, I remarked that the next time Dillinger met an officer of the law, that officer might shoot first and talk afterwards. That is exactly what happened in Chicago just 72 hours ago at this time. Tonight, I wish to express, not only for myself and my brother officers, but for other people of the Southwest, our admiration and gratitude to the police officers and federal investigators under Melvin Purvis, who Sunday night rid the nation of its public enemy number one. And in this radio recreation of the Dillinger saga, to salute every peace officer who risked his life in the long battle to crush the Dillinger mob. This radio recreation. Damn it.
September 23rd, 1933. Under a hail of machine gun bullets, Charles Markley, Harry Pierpoint, and Russell Clark, accompanied by seven other convicts, successfully escaped from Indiana State Penitentiary. As 10 desperate criminals disappear into the mists of the early morning, all of Indiana awakens into a reign of terror a few days later in Lima, Ohio.
Youth Sheriff?
Yeah.
You holding John Dillinger here?
Yeah.
We've come to get him.
Who are you?
Officers from Michigan City, Indiana. He's wanted there.
You will have to show me your credentials.
Here's our credentials.
Terror spreads throughout the Middle West. Hysterical fear mounts. Not since the days when Jesse James rode the prairies have respectable citizens lived in mortal dread of the witless outlaws. Dillinger is loose! Indianapolis.
$21,000 taken from the Massachusetts Avenue Bank.
New Carlisle, Ohio.
Bandits take $53,000 from New Carlisle Bank during daylight robbery.
Farrell, Pennsylvania.
Hold up a Farrell Bank? Loss? $24,000?
Dalesville, Indiana.
Hold up and loss of $3,500.
Montiplier, Indiana.
$12,000 hauled from the Montiplier Bank.
Racine, Wisconsin.
Holdup of the American Bank and Trust Company. Loss $27,000.
Greencastle, Indiana.
$74,000 bank robbery.
Such is the list of crimes attributed to the Dillinger Mob in their 2.5 months of gun-mad freedom. When they ride the plains of the Middle West like avenging scourges of evil, careful traps set for them are laughed away in a hail of bullets from the gangsters' guns which claimed the lives of Police Sergeant W.T. Shanley of Chicago and Indiana State Patrolman Eugene T. Outraged public opinion is demanding the lives of these mad messengers of doom, when, like a screaming flock of harpies, they descend in East Chicago, Indiana, in early January. With each of the latest model submachine guns hooked under his arm, Dillinger, Mackley, Pierpoint, and Clark burst into the First National Bank of...
Look out! Those men have guns!
This is a stick-up. Everyone stand still.
Now look here, my good man.
Stand still, I said.
Yes, John.
Keep these people covered.
Right.
Billy and I will go through the tills. I'll take everything in this place in less than 3 minutes. Come on, Charlie.
Oh, look. There's a policeman.
Where?
Outside. He sees something wrong. He's coming in.
Look out, John. Here comes a cop.
Here. What's going on in here?
Oh! That's what's going on, Copper. Why didn't you tell me there was a bull coming in, Harry?
I didn't see him.
Better keep your eyes open in the future. It's healthy.
Got all the stuff, John?
Yeah, everything that was loose. Let's get out of here.
Okay.
All right, you folks. Just stay where you are. Unless you want a dose of lead poison like this copper's got.
But then, as suddenly as it began, the reign of terror ends. Peace once more descends on the Middle West. The shattered nerves of the farmer, the merchant, and the banker gradually return to normal. Dillinger seems to have disappeared from the face of the earth. For now.